10-minute speaker is Jake G from San Diego.
I'm Jacob, I'm alcoholic. What it was like for me was I was uncomfortable really young. I was extremely, extremely uncomfortable. And I grew up with a brother that was 7 years older than me. So I always tried to fit in with him, you know. I always tried to hang out with the older kids. I always tried to keep up with the older kids. And I never fit in, really. I was too white for my white friends, or too white for my Mexican friends, and too Mexican for my white friends, all that. I had that going on. And anyhow, that I don't think that made me alcoholic, but what it was like for me was I was a big-time planner and a real bad executor. I talked about doing stuff pretty often. I had a lot of ideas and a lot of plans, and I told a lot of lies about stuff that I've done in the past or that I was starting to do. And I pretty much talked myself up to be like a extremely tough rock and roll star, man. And not fucking true. It's not true at all. Reality is I legitimately sat in my mother's house and I played video games and pet my cat, you know, and got loaded. I literally got loaded and pet my cat for about 8 years, seven, 8 years. And I pretended really well, though. I faked it well, that people thought it was cool for some reason. I think they did. And so anyhow, I also have extremely bad sense of humor. I have extremely bad sense of humor. I used to go to high school parties, and I used to hide the beers inside the parents' pillowcases. And I used to hide alcohol inside the stove or the oven, in the cupboards. I would take paintings off the wall or pictures off the wall, and I would write, "Your son had a party on this date," and I put the picture back. And that's my sense of humor right there. Needless to say, man, people don't really like me at their homes, and they really don't. And so I got invited to places most of the time one time. And so what happened was that was like the fun young years, you know. And after that, it kind of got strangely dark a lot quicker than a lot of people. But I couldn't borrow from anybody anymore. I couldn't convince people to let me use their cars, because I never had my own car. I mean, I think I did when I was 15, but I lost it completely. I never seen it again. I literally lost it. And I swear to God, I lost a car my grandmother gave me. I never seen it again. And so no one wanted me to borrow their shit or give me money or kind of like let me be the middleman for what they wanted to get and all these things. They didn't want me to do that anymore because I was a liar, cheat, and a thief, man. I take more than you give me. Yeah, that's me to a T. And so what happened was I kind of like ended up being a little bit of a loner at the end for a couple years, man. And I lived at my sister's house, my older sister, who was like a second mom to me. And she was codependent with us kids, you know. So I kind of tricked her into letting me stay at her house. And she gave me, this is important to me, she gave me a room at her house, and instead of sleeping on the bed in my nephew's bedroom, I slept on the ground. And the reason I slept on the ground is so she really, really, really felt bad for me. She was trying to help me, and I tried to make her feel bad for me worse. You know, I tried to like literally get as much as I can from her for her helping me. If that makes any sense, it was kind of shitty of me to do, but that's what I do. And so anyways, that was like towards the end, man, and I would get loaded every single day from the time I woke up to the time I went to sleep. And the last, I don't know how long it was, I used to say a month, it could have been a year, I kind of don't remember much at the end there. And I used to sit in the mirror, this wannabe tough guy, and I would cry. I would cry in the mirror, and I would say, like, you know, I would call people too. I'd make plans with girlfriends and friends, and I would be like, you know what, tomorrow we're going to do all this stuff we got tonight, and then that's it, man. Like, we're done, we're going to start doing wheatgrass shots, and we're going to do a little bit of yoga, and we're going to do this, we're just going to get this shit going, we're going to really, I'd make these plans, and I literally meant it with every fiber of my being. Like I literally meant these things. And when I woke up, I was off to the races immediately. I was on a phone trying to hustle somebody to get something I needed. That was it. It was a miserable little existence, man. And I'm sure some of you had worse things than I do, but it was low enough for me. And I felt extremely empty, like extremely fucking empty. And I had like this, I didn't know about this square peg in a round hole thing, but I had that. I had like a hole in my soul, and I would try to fill it with stuff. I used to buy a lot of shoes, and I would buy a lot of hats, and I'd buy shit to make me look good outwardly, and it didn't work, man. Nothing ever worked. Females, whatever it was. And so my mom knew a guy next door to a place called Pathfinders, and she told me, let's go fill out paperwork, and I did. And the guy told me 3-week waiting list, and I was like, that's great, man, 3 weeks. Everyone be off my back. I won't have to think about this anymore. Maybe I'll fall into some money, and I won't have to do this thing. And the third day that my mom fed me the phone, it wasn't me like calling by myself. It was her feeding me the phone with someone on it. And the third day, the guy answered and said, is this Jacob Gomez? And I said, yeah, it is. And he said, your bed's ready. And I was like, oh, fuck, man. Hey, this is a little extreme. This is a little extreme. Like, I got a lot of loose ends to tie up. I got a lot of stuff going on. I can't really just drop all of this and get to there right now. And I did anyways. I don't know why. I still don't know why. But I went there anyways, and I gravitated towards all these. I hated everyone there, to be honest with you. And it was because there were either I could make up a reason for everything. They didn't believe my lies, or they were old and looked different than me, or I had so many fucking excuses. I didn't like anybody. And so anyhow, I gravitated towards some guys that I kind of looked like the guys I knew when I was younger. And I fucked up, man. These skateboarding tattooed guys were real into the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And they literally, we went down to the park one day, and I thought we were going to like chase girls or whatever it was. And we started reading the book, and I was really, really bummed out, man, to be honest with you. And anyways, one of those dudes became my sponsor, and I immediately started taking the steps. And that's not true. I balked. Like, I stopped. Like, I literally lagged a lot in the very beginning. And he literally told me one day, I'm going to fire you as a sponsee. And I didn't want that to happen because I've never heard of that. And anyways, he's like, let's get to fucking reading, man. We went to Pathfinders one day before. It was like there was a lot of people coming for the 1 o'clock. Maybe there wasn't. I think there was. And we were sitting there at this table. And he said, hey, man, are you ready to do the third step prayer? I said, yeah, but let's hurry this up. People are going to see me being corny, square, and lame. I don't want that. And he said, all right, cool, man, let's get on your knees and hold my hands and let's pray. And I was like, oh, shit, not interested. And I did it anyways, and I got up, man, and that's kind of a really important thing to me still to this day. I got up, and I like dusted myself off and looked around, and no one gives a shit about me, man. I'm not that big of a deal. And what it's like now is I'm definitely not the picture perfect of AA. I know that very much so. I've been sober since January of 08, and I have an incredible, incredible life, and I've done a lot of bad shit in sobriety, but, I mean, nowadays, I try to make right my wrongs, and my 7-year-old son's never seen me drunk, and I have, like, the pleasure, I have a, I don't know, there's so many things that I've had happened to me that I didn't think were possible. All that shit that I told stories about being, I'm that now. And it's kind of fucked up, but I do, what I do, like, for money is just insane to me. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, what I do is, doesn't even sound like a real job, man. And it's like I owe it all to Alcoholics Anonymous and a power greater than myself, which I choose to call God. And I 100% believe in God. I'm sorry if that puts a wall between us, but I 100% believe. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to be sober. And I hopefully don't have to drink again ever if I keep doing this thing, possibly. And I'm just very grateful you guys have me here. Thank you.